And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
I discovered, which I did not realize, that there is a mountain of 1930s and 40s radio shows hosted on either YouTube or dedicated podcast channels or whatever. It was all
for the news.
Yeah, Pathé News. Earthquake in Afghanistan. Yeah. Thousands killed, two Britons injured.
Good evening and welcome to Is It a Bicycle? Season 13, Episode 3, the original and bestest ever TV and movie podcast. My name is Stephen Wrigley and I'll be your host for this evening. Joining me tonight is a man whose attitude could stand some improvement, but his health insurance won't cover those bills. It's Mark, superhero Leonard. It's with a heavy and saddened heart that I have to pass on some news this week. Sean has temporarily left the building, dropped the mic and walked. So if you're a binary female of the opposite sex to male binary, this could be the job for you. If we've learned anything during Shona's time on the podcast, it's that women rock and we should discriminate against all other genders. Isn't that right? That's what she was telling us all the time, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what I got from it. Tweet us anyway, at Is It A Bicycle, and we'll consider your application. I can just see it now.
we need a fifth Beatle.
A fifth Beatle, that's it.
That's what we need. We have an open chair right now. Someone to join this podcast. And these jobs don't come up that often. You know, like when you think about a job as prestigious as this and how infrequently it comes up, you have to think of things like the President of the United States.
Exactly. It's a popularity contest. Yeah, exactly. So this week we'll be discussing Una. In our movies and some TV with SEAL Team and The Good Doctor. And with some other stuff that we've seen, I believe. Actually, if we could start with some of the other stuff.
We certainly can.
Yeah. You recommended What Happened on Monday.
Did you watch it?
I did.
What do you think?
I did. I enjoyed it. Now, I have a theory as to why you enjoyed it a bit more than I did.
How do you know, though, that I enjoyed it more than you did? Maybe I enjoyed it exactly the same amount.
Well, from your review, I got a good idea. And I think it's due to you did it in a two-parter. So you had a day to digest the first half, and then you're wondering and you're thinking about it. And then you came back and you saw that you're wrong on most counts. Because that's what would have happened to me.
I guess a number of things right, actually, but not everything. And I then moved away from my initial theory, which was very right, and formed a ridiculous one that was only part right. I don't think I don't think the anticipation hurt me at all.
Yeah.
So just for those of you that weren't listening last week, shame. What Happened to Monday is a Netflix movie where set in a dystopian future where siblings are not allowed. You're allowed one child. That's it. And this happened around the same time, rash of multiple births. So the main characters in our story are, I don't even know the name of it, there were seven of them. Septuplets. What is it?
Septuplets, yeah.
Septuplets, there's seven of them anyway, and they're all identical. So to try and hide the fact that there's more than one sibling in the family, they are each allowed out of the house, and they're named after the day that they're allowed out of the house. So what happened to Monday is when the girl whose name is Monday and goes out on a Monday, disappears, the girls have to try and find out what happened to her, and it gets pretty whodunit, and there's some good action in it, and it ticks a lot of the boxes for things that I enjoy in a movie.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. So if you had to mark it?
If I was to mark it, honestly, I enjoyed it, but it was average enough. And I agree, it did remind me a bit of The Running Man as well. I'd have it'd be a very solid six for me, actually.
Solid six, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
What have you seen this week?
Well, do you know what I've gone back to?
Wow.
And I love when I can introduce this TV show to somebody new, and Dan had never seen it, but we watched the first episode, the premiere episode that came out last week. Second episode is on tonight, of the reality TV show Survivor.
Oh, is this season 46?
35.
No way.
35.
I was joking.
So this is, Survivor is a phenomenon in the States. It's not very well known over here. It was on TG Cahir was the only way you could see it on terrestrial TV here for a while.
Is this dropped on an island one?
It is, yeah. So 15 survivors are dropped on an island. They're usually in three tribes, sometimes two bigger tribes, but they're three tribes. They compete in challenges for immunity. The tribe that doesn't have immunity goes to tribal council and they vote one of their members off. This continues until they're left with one person standing and that person wins $1 million. It is a cultural phenomenon and it's so well known in the States that there are books about tactics.
No way.
Which you can get. Yeah, it's going since 2000.
Serious, Jesus.
People have gone in multiple times. People have studied it. They know how to play the game. And that's everywhere. You know, like one guy actually started searching the beach for an immunity idol with no information other than this often happens. And he didn't find one, thankfully. But it just shows you, like, they all know the show. They know what they're going in for. And they have their own strategies that aren't produced in isolation.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. So I'm watching it from a similar vein because I watched that first series back in 2000 and I've watched a lot of them since. I really like the show.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it from the kind of seasoned veteran and, you know, Donna's watching it for the first time. So it's cool to get to kind of through her eyes. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Because it's all new to her.
Yeah.
And like she's going to learn so much about Survivor this season. She doesn't know about the curse of the car, for example.
Okay.
When they get to the quarterfinal stage, the winner of the immunity challenge gets a car.
Okay.
But nobody who's ever won the car has won the million.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The curse of the car.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a couple other things like that. It's just, I can't wait for it to see it all. But it's actually, it looks to be shaping up to be a good season. The characters are good.
Is she in?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's
looking for a second episode. And I said, okay. I can't get it through my VPN to CBS Go until tonight, actually. So there'll be one there for us tonight.
Like. Yeah.
But great show. Great show. And I can't, if you've never seen Survivor especially, you'll enjoy it. Now, they don't waste time on preamble. So, like, you kind of have to, I found myself filling in things where, that they glossed over really quickly because they know, the people just know.
Yeah.
And you still manage to pick it up, like. Yeah. But if you haven't seen it before, season 35 is a good place to start.
Huh. Have you started with the Celebrity Big Brother? Isn't that started too?
No, I'm not watching that. I watched Big Brother for most of the summer and it kind of burnt me out.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering. I just happened to see a headline the other day. I was wondering if you're watching it. I just back into a few things this week that we've looked at before, like Rick and Morty.
Oh, God, I hate that show.
I went back into season 3, episode 10, which is the last episode of the season, I think. But, man, it's hilarious. It's really good. I mean, they've really advanced in their humor, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should give it another shot.
Terrible show.
I think you should give it another shot.
I refuse. Sometimes we're different people, Steve.
Well, Survivor says it all, you know? Yeah, for sure.
You'd like it too.
Oh, no, Jesus. And the next person off is 5 minute silence. John.
No, it's not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like that. It's like, no, I agree. You probably won't like fucking Survivor. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There are no subtitles. It doesn't deal with some historical event or cars.
So you're speaking of cars.
Some historical event that they repackage as a completely new information for me. But
speaking of cars.
Yeah, maybe you should fucking watch that episode of Survivor.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll dip in just so we can discuss compare and contrast. I got back to you remember Richard Rawlings, I talked about it before, was Gas Monkey is the name of his garage, and he takes crap cars, builds them up and sells them for massive profits, right? He's a wheeler dealer, and in the meantime, while the dudes are doing this in the garage, he's off buying a car that he can flip quickly for a couple of grand, right? And that's what he does all the time. So he's creating an empire now. He's got his own tequila. He's got his own restaurants, chain of them, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, the brand is huge, right? So he's making
big
money.
That's how you know you've made it, when you've got your own brand of tequila.
Yeah. So over the years, he's hired various mechanics that for one reason or another didn't work out. Sometimes it's a clash of personalities. Sometimes they're just kind of crap or lazy or whatever reason. So these guys, a few of them got together and they formed their own garage and they also have a TV show, but they're renting Richard's old place off him right? No, actually, what happened was Richard pulled a sly one on them because they went to rent it, and then Richard went in and upped the price with the landlord and rented it for like 10 grand more, which made him their landlord, right? Like a sly one. So he can walk in anytime, you know, right? So they're back for a third season, but the offshoot of this is there's a new one that Richard is doing, which is he's going into where some garages are just, they're about to close down because either they just haven't got their paperwork sorted, they don't have their garage organized, or blah, blah, blah. So it's called Rehab Garage, where he goes in, he will invest in it heavily and then sort it out the way his garage runs, that kind of way. So it's quite interesting from that kind of admin and business point of view, let's say. Just how he's turning them around.
It's like where the show Gordon Ramsay had, where he would go in and try and fix hotels.
Exactly,
and stuff.
Same thing. Exactly, yeah. Or the Brennan Brothers or whoever, yeah. Discovery, the third episode was out.
Yeah, that's right. That dropped this morning on Netflix.
Was it? Or last night? Late last night?
Well, this morning I watched it, I think. Was it this morning?
I think it was last night, dude. It was on Netflix. I watched it last night, I think. It would have been after midnight, yeah. It's really good.
No, I didn't see
it's really
it
good,
morning.
You know.
It's a great show. So
you know,
it is a great show.
I think this is, it's sort of, this could be probably my favorite series of all the Star Treks, nearly. So far, it's kind of up there anyway already. Just between story, dialogue, writing, really solid. I mean, the storylines, some of them they're not so new, but I like the twist or angle that they have on them, you know? And I do like the characters in them are solid too. There's no one that I'm sort of going, oh God, we have to sit through, you know, 5 minutes of this guy to get to the rest of it, you know? So, yeah, I'm enjoying it.
No, I am. Yeah. It felt to me like episode 3 was like a repilot.
Yeah, it a bit,
because
didn't it?
They've kind of started the story over again.
Yeah.
And the first two episodes, you know, like they set the scene, but in a way they don't matter.
No, they're just like background character development, nearly, you know. And this is the real story now we're into.
The real story is happening now.
Yeah. Instead of it being, we've seen the myth and the fable and the legend of, you know, what happened in episode 1 and 2, you know. So, I guess it's a good building block to go from. So the other one I was back on is Lucifer started back. Season 3. You remember this one? Where the devil is on Earth. And he's kind of annoyed with his dad, God. And he has become a consultant to a detective. Do you remember this, no? This is the very hot detective who did one of those teen... what do you call it? Not porn movie. What do you call them? Soft porn movie, I guess. But anyway, it's a bit of a mix anyway. So, it's funny. It's crap, but it's funny. It's easy TV. You know, it's visual chewing gum, you know. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. I think you'd like his attitude.
might be worth a look, I, the idea of devil as a consultant is interesting.
Yeah. Has its moments, all right, yeah. What else do I need to talk to you about? Did you get to the confession tapes by any chance?
Did I at some point suggest that I was going to?
Yeah, I thought maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was Mike. Oh, well, no.
No, I watched The House.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah, it's a Will Ferrell comedy where he has become an empty nest. His daughter is going to college, but he suddenly realizes he can't pay for it. And then he realizes that casinos make an awful lot of money and the house always wins. So he sets up an illegal casino in his house to make money for his daughter's tuition.
Ah.
So conceptually, it's funny and there are a lot of laughs in it.
Yeah.
But it's not consistently funny all the way through, and there's a few misses. It's Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler. Who else is in it that you'd recognize? Ryan Simpkins? No, I don't think there's anyone else really that recognizable in it. There's people you kind of go, oh, I know him from stuff.
Yeah.
But him and Amy Poehler are the main two. And their chemistry is decent, not out of this world. And Will Ferrell, like Will Ferrell is just Will Ferrell at this stage, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a you brand, know, like isn't
every so often, it's not as funny as it often is.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. It was an easy way to pass a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But it's nothing special. Like, if I had to mark it, I'd probably give it a 5. It's an average movie.
Right,
there.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Okay, first of our TV is SEAL Team. Failure isn't an option. You like it already, don't you? Navy SEALs.
Yeah, well, I like it because David Boreanaz is in it.
Oh, God, isn't he in all of them?
He's not. He's been in Bones for years, and before that he was Angel in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, he just kind of looks like he's been in all of them.
He's been on TV for a long time.
Even long enough that he doesn't really look like himself anymore, you know?
Yeah, agreed. I get the impression he's a bit of a dick.
Do you? Are you mixing him up with your man from Fight Ship?
Oh, no, he is a dick. We know without a shadow of a doubt that Eric Dane is a dick. Because he was mean to Sean at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But no, I suspect that David Boreanaz is as well, just because of some of the interviews I've seen with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he strikes me as someone who is either on coke or incredibly full of himself, or maybe both.
All right.
This is an opinion I formed back in his Angel days. Maybe age has leveled him out a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was, 20 years ago?
That was a long time ago. Now, geez, I remember how distraught I was when they killed Cordelia back then. And well, they didn't kill her, she left the show, and how equally distraught I was when they cancelled Angel and they finished the fucking thing on a cliffhanger. Assholes.
But what happens
next? Such a lack of closure.
Let me see. Navy SEALs, failure isn't an option. That kind of pressure can take its toll on the members of the special forces and so on, blah, blah, blah. Right, so it's a special forces team, and initially you're introduced to Angel, and he immediately goes into a therapy session, and he's got all his, walls up, you know. He's just like, look, it's just your time, Doc, you know, and then she mentions some dude who died on his watch, and then of course he opens up and blah blah blah. So that sort of leads us into, oh, he's a sensitive type, but he doesn't want to admit it, and he's had failures, but he's a good leader, let's say. They show it through flashbacks. So they get a new guy to replace him. Of course he's awesome, but of course there's resistance to it, as you would have it, and there's nothing he can do that'll be, you know, right for the next, you know, I don't know, half a season. And so they go on you know, very, very dangerous, high stakes missions. And they're all clandestine. You know, we have to go in, you know, we may have two objectives in this, but oh no, we've lost a helicopter, so we're going for one, that kind of thing. I watched it through your eyes, because when I started watching this, I was just like, Mark is going to love this. Mike's going to love this as well. But I think Mark will particularly love this.
Well, I actually put it on the list.
And then I started to enjoy it when I was watching it through your eyes, because because I was just like, ah, Jesus, another SEAL team thing. And then I found myself going, oh no, he liked that. Ah, yeah, he would like that too, you know.
So, no, I like it.
Yeah, so I ended up, it was actually all right. I probably won't watch any more of it, unlikely, but it was enjoyable. It was by the book SEAL team stuff. Yeah,
it sounds like they're trying to make strong parallels with Sopranos, though, because Tony Soprano, of course, spent the whole time on that TV show on his psychiatrist's couch.
Right.
And he was the vulnerable mob boss when he was in therapy, and the, you know, sociopath outside of that room.
Yeah.
So, did you feel any of that?
Not really. No, you see, he's only on it briefly, really just to set up the episode, so we've got a little bit of background. It's a tool, really. But there are parts in the episode where you can see that there's more to it, let's say. Yeah. I on behalf of you, I'm going to give this Thriller. Because you're going to want to watch more of this.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you're right. I'm going to try and watch it before next week, so I'll do that and report back.
Yeah, cool. What else we get to this week?
The Good Doctor.
The Good Doctor.
So The Good Doctor has been talked about a lot. It is the latest in a rapidly lengthening autistic protagonist. So in this case, the protagonist is autistic, as I mentioned, but also a very talented surgeon. And he's an autistic savant. He has gotten a job in a new hospital And this episode, the pilot basically details his arrival there and how he is treated when he arrives. So it's Dr. Sean Murphy is the guy I'm talking about. He's played by Freddie Highmore, who people remember from, he was the son in Bates Motel.
Did you get to this? That's who he is, yeah. Because I was just thinking, you know, it's one of those that sort of, you know, you, well, I found myself thinking about it a good bit afterwards. And I wasn't sure if your man was actually autistic or if he's just a really good actor.
Yeah, and he's a pretty good actor, right, this guy. One fault I had with him was that he looks very young.
Yeah.
And in Bates Motel, that was an advantage because he was playing a son. But in this, he's meant to be someone who's out of surgeon's college and ready for work.
Yeah.
So he would conceivably be in his late 20s and he doesn't even look that.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant actor. He does an excellent portrayal of someone with the, you know, particular personality quirks that this character
amazing.
Does.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's really, really good.
Yeah.
So I want to break down my worry for this TV show.
Okay.
Right. So this was written by David Shore, who won several Emmys writing House.
Uh-huh.
He has only, to my knowledge, he has only written the first episode.
Oh, okay.
So I found that watching this TV show, it was balanced on a precarious knife edge because it had a lot of the things that were good about Grey's Anatomy when Grey's Anatomy was good, but it could at any moment veer off into what was bad about Grey's. And let me just expand on that because I know you didn't think there was anything good about Grey's ever, right? But for a while, Grey's Anatomy had an integrity of character that played out in the stories, and the storylines were then authentic.
Yeah.
And for me, at least, they evoked real emotion because of that. After a while, they ran out of storylines like any soap opera will do.
Yeah.
And they had to come up with ridiculous stuff so that people could do things. And people were acting against their core characters. There was deus ex machina everywhere.
Yeah.
And they jumped the shark, basically. And for those of you still watching Grey's Anatomy, in my opinion, they jumped the shark when they had to come up with a Gunther. It's a particular episode, right?
Right.
And if you know what that episode is, you'll probably know what I mean because it was ridiculous. Mm. So back to The Good Doctor. The Good Doctor has a lot of people kissing each other who are doctors and maybe more.
Yeah.
And there's all that kind of fraternization that goes on in all these hospital dramas is happening. They've got good surgeon-y stuff happening.
Yeah.
And they're also doing a really good job of making the main character, Sean Murphy, sympathetic. Not just sympathetic, but there's a pathos around the character and his backstory, right, that gets you. It tugs on the heartstrings. But there's a real risk that that's going to become obviously contrived, right?
Yeah.
And if it does, then it's going to lose its power and that show is going to become poor very bad. Somebody are poor very quickly. Somebody like David Shore is not going to make those mistakes. But if he hands over the reins of later episodes to somebody else, I'm not convinced it'll be done as well. So I'm just interested to see how it develops. I'm definitely going to watch more to see if they can, because if they hold it together, if the rest of the episodes are as good as this first one, it's going to be a great show, I think. And I can see myself crying my eyes out watching it at times.
You can already picture that every week is going to be a new set of medical and social interaction issues. You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is quite procedural.
Yeah, I thought they went a little bit OTT on the dialogue, the medical dialogue, where they explained stuff. You know, for the lowest common denominator, nearly that may be watching. You know, because
just to make sure you could figure it out. Like.
Exactly, because they'd say, "Oh, he's had a let's say an aneurysm. Oh, that's a." A bleeding in the brain or blah, blah, blah. You know, another doctor would say to another doctor, like, to completely explain, you know, and that will affect blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, didn't he go to medical school as well? No. And it's like, you know, why are you telling him,
There is a lot of exposition, all right? They get away with that in Grey's Anatomy because it's a teaching hospital, as they tell you every episode.
Yes, yes, yeah.
But you're right. There shouldn't really be a need when you've got a surgical table
when they're meant to be that high caliber
qualified surgeons.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the equivalent of I don't know, a mechanics show was saying, oh, the gear stick is broken. That means the car won't go because you can't get it in gear. You know, it's that kind of, it's the exact same equivalent. So, yeah. So I had a little bit of a problem with that. And it happened at least four times, I think. There was also a little bit too much of a play on emotion for me to watch this regularly. Graze and what was the other one? ER, was it? They all tend to. I mean, it's a hospital drama. It's going to play on it, and it's not my bag. I did like the pilot of this. Will I watch more? You know what? I could be tempted to watch another episode of this because I really liked the character. I thought he was a standout character. And not because of the car crash TV draw. There is a bit of a draw of that, like, oh, how's he going to, you know, feck up next in a social interaction scenario, you know?
Only it's not as funny. It's more like, it's sad and you feel sorry for him, whereas in Atypical, it was funny.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. They're two very different guys, two very different issues, you know, that they have, you know. But they definitely can be compared because of the social interaction issues. All right. So I'm going to give it a guarded thriller.
Well, I'm glad, Steve. I'm glad. I think it shows great character growth in your part.
It's all down to Shona.
Obviously. And it's a thriller for me as well. I'm dying to watch more. Mm. Though I am slightly cynical about it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. I know what you mean. If they run it too long, they should probably just set it, you know, a story, run it for a season, maybe two, and then done. You know, I prefer that approach rather than, we've got another episode next week. What are we going to do? You know? Let's get in the spaghetti monster who's lost a leg or something, you know. you know, it's ridiculous, really, you know.
Well, you can eventually get there, you know, and like, here's hoping that they don't.
Yeah, yeah. Our movie this week is Una, which is an American-Canadian-British drama film directed by Benedict Andrews, and it's based upon the play Blackbird. This stars Rooney Mara and Ben Mandelson. The plot is, there's a young woman who kind of arrives unexpectedly at the workplace of an older man. And as they discuss, we discovered that they had a bit of a fling when she was 13.
13.
13. And he has since served time for it. And she has obviously been damaged by the whole experience. And I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't want to say too much, but she seems to be after a bit of redemption by approaching him. So that's the tagline, the synopsis. Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense when you say that this was taken from a play, because I watched about 25 minutes of this and I had to stop immediately. Otherwise, I was going to destroy something. there's an issue with this show as well, is that it goes from really, really quiet scenes to really, really loud scenes with no warning to try and keep your interest. And this is useful for staying awake, which I'm sure is important an hour later. But for me, it was just annoying because I was constantly diving for the remote to turn it down before it woke somebody. On top of this constant game of volume balancing, it is so slow moving and it is so dialogue heavy.
Oh,
that it would just bore you out of your mind. Like, I know any play adaptation is going to be dialogue heavy, but like, could they not shoot somebody for the hell of it?
it even gets more so dialogue heavy. I mean, they just move from, let's say, I think there's about three or four rooms, and they discuss stuff. You know, so that's kind of, it's just a lot of talking, and there's a lot of talking to be done. But I do like the angles and the discussion. And I found the first 20 minutes very interesting, actually. The build-up, and I thought it was a great intro to the movie. It really got me in there because I thought, oh, God, this might be a bit of a slog. But I didn't find it that way at all.
For me, it was. But no, fair enough. This is, on many levels, we're different people.
Yeah, I thought Rooney Mara was excellent. She just stayed so stoic for the majority of the movie. There's some great twists further on in the movie that I really didn't see coming. It's very sad, of course, with the whole basis of it is a tragedy. But again, the way they handle it is very well done, and it's not that it's Car Crash TV again, I mentioned it again, but it's just, it's got a hook. It's got a hook that sort of wouldn't let me off the line. You know, I just had to see what's next, what's coming up, what's next. Oh, geez, that happened. And all this.
God, I don't know how you get invested in this kind of stuff. Like,
because I didn't like his characters. Now, I really like Ben Mandelson, but I really didn't like his character, but I really liked hers. But I didn't know why, you know.
Well, her character was interesting. You want to see, I'm imagining, how her personality unraveled and where the roots of her. Because the only part of this that I was interested in is, like you say, you see the child her, because they flash back a lot to that when the affair actually happened. And then the flash forward and then you see her as an adult, and she's obviously, like you mentioned, got her own personality issues.
Yeah.
And I guess the link between the, you know, things that happened to the child that affected the adult are interesting. But they were just getting to it too slowly with too much bloody dialogue. Like,
Atmosphere, I think they might call it.
there was plenty of atmosphere, and that's also where the volume balance came in.
Which is also dead air in some minds, you know.
No, it's just like you need to be in the mood for it. Like, you might remember a couple of years ago, A Late Quartet was one of my favorite films of the year, and that is essentially a net play adaptation as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, at times you need to be in the mood for it, and I guess I just wasn't.
Yeah.
Or else there just was something about the characters that didn't engage me the way they did you. But either way, I won't be going back to see what happened.
I should say that this is all happening 15 years after the fact.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she's
25 or something.
28, actually. Yeah. She's a grown woman. Like, but, of course, the guy that she's gone to meet, he was just hoping to bury the past, which he has tried to do using various means, and just wanted to move on with his life. But there's some unspoken secrets.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. But like, he's a fucking sex offender. Of course he doesn't want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Him. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Anywho.
Go on, Marcus. What did you think?
You know, I really liked it. It's a 7 for sure.
7. Good. Yeah. So you really did like it, yeah?
Yeah. Even, I'm just I'm sort of on the fence. Should I go an 8? But I think it's a 7, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Lord. No, I really liked it, yeah, yeah.
We're so different, you and I.
yeah, Rooney Mara, it's really come up in my estimation now, you know, really. Mm. Always liked her as an actor, but brilliant in this. Or sorry, is it actress? Jeez, I can't tell. Shona, where are you? I need to be corrected. Tell me what's right.
I think
right.
The appropriate term is she actor. So, Steve, we're about 82 days from the bikies.
Oh, yeah, we are, yeah, actually.
The end of the year looms ever closer.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you any choices in there yet?
Oh, yeah. So, for those of you listening at home that aren't aware of our process, we have various categories for our best of at the end of the year, and the winner in each category is awarded the prestigious Bikey Award.
Yeah.
Now, what often happens with our weekly list, the Bikey list, isn't filled out by Mike ever, and by the rest of us, you know, bits and pieces as we get closer to the date.
What I like
just wondering
about
if you had any, because best movie is very empty, our list of best movies. I don't know, was it a better year for TV than it was film this year? Maybe that's why we're struggling.
Yeah, this is the Bikies 2017. I'm looking for it here. Oh, there it is. It's funny because as the year goes on, I'll put in some stuff, but then of course I'll go back and change stuff. And I just go, yeah, that was good at the time, but yeah, not so great now. And I actually think this is better, you know. We have stuff that it'll always appear, like a best continuing TV show, right? So that includes all drama, comedy, reality, documentary, or John Cena show, right?
That's the, okay. Don't give away the bikey jokes now.
No, that's the title. But we'll always have stuff like The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Better Call. So as long as they run, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed that they'll be in there. But there's always a few sort of
I think it's interesting this year for Best Continuing TV Show, because Game of Thrones doesn't appear to be the same quality as it used to be. Going by internet buzz.
That's very true. Yeah.
No, I haven't watched it, remember, so I can't really say. But
You need to get the finger out and get through that.
It's not going to happen before the bike, Isaac. I'm just going to let you guys have at it. Mm. I'll be my standard impartial host. For those of you that haven't watched or listened to the bikies, that's another treat for you guys. I give Steve a break from hosting duties and I take over for one night only each year.
For one night only.
One night only.
Best night ever. Sorry, I'm just looking at some of the picks here and some of the categories. They're hilarious. Yeah. Most worrying trend. I love that.
Well, we had that last year, but I decided to keep it. Because it actually produced some of the most interesting debate last year.
Oh, God, some of the entries are hilarious. But okay.
I think 2 years ago, most worrying trend, the winner was too many movies still fail the Bechdel test.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was actually a lot of debate about that, where I think Shona made us all better people.
Yeah. so that's the... So bikies, that'll be the end of the year. Yeah, the last one of the year or the first of next year. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. We don't have a lot of time left. What's coming up that's big? And
Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Yeah, with that.
But I don't know if that's going to be a bikey contender.
Yeah, yeah. That and the Hobbit movies and what do you call it? Lord of the Rings. They always seem to make it too late for the bikies. We must be sure to include the worst film we reviewed as well again this year.
We'll make that your category,
good.
Steve.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, a lot of chat.
You get to pick a category of your very own.
Yay. Or if you have any suggestions for me or Mike, we're at Is It A Bicycle on Twitter.
Be interesting to see if Sean is going to join us this year.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be around, isn't he? Yeah.
He's going to be around with his wife, his new wife, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well,
so he's got the option of abandoning her for 4 or 5 hours with my parents,
yeah,
and coming to do the bikies.
Yeah,
I don't know how that's going to play.
No, I think she should come along. I mean, she did a great report from the Comic-Con.
She appreciated Sean's jokes.
Yeah,
she had some insight of her own.
Yeah,
but it'll be good. It'll be good to see Sean again at Christmas for sure. Mm. We can pretty much say whatever we want about him on this show. He never listens.
That's true. That's true. I think that's for this week, is it?
I think it might
short
be, Steve.
And sweet. Short and sweet.
When you know what you're trying to say, you don't have to spend time saying it.
Exactly. So from Mike and Steve. Mark and Steve.
Fucking here,
yeah. Stay classy.